Welcome to Soul Meets Body, a soft place for the deep thinkers and even deeper feelers to land, where we put language to the felt and the unseen, speak the unspoken truth, and integrate inner wisdom into embodied living. I'm your host, Bree Landry, a somatic movement educator, holistic life coach, energy weaver, space holder, and endlessly curious. Here we hold space for the tenderness of the messy human experience. Through conversations that blend spirituality and intuition, mindfulness and somatics, and the deep remembering of who you truly are. Whether you're moving through your own healing journey, rediscovering your truth, or simply craving presence and deeper conversation, you're in the right place. Let's drop in. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Soul Meets Body. I'm so excited for today's conversation. It's going to be a deep dive into liminal spaces and inflection points. Kind of stepping into the portal of the unknown, feeling the stagnancy, or just really rewriting the narrative around the stagnancy a lot of us feel in this in-between unknown space where we're not quite who we once were, we're not yet fully who we know that we're becoming or walking towards becoming, and kind of the inflection point where things start shifting and changing and you realize that you're no longer in the liminal and you're stepping beyond that space. It's very much where I currently am standing, and I'm exploring and living and integrating. And I know a lot of us kind of feel that sense of in between when we're transitioning from summer into fall, and we're definitely very much in that space right now. And I wanted to start with a personal story from a few weeks back because I think it's a perfect just symbol of what this liminal space can be if we allow it. So, no word of a lie, 2 weeks ago, I'm washing the dishes and my son runs over to me. I bought him a fake plant a few months ago, because he is obsessed with bugs, he's obsessed with nature, plants. We have plants all over the house. And he was taking his little toy insects and caterpillars and playing in the dirt of my plants. He poked holes through my monstera leaves, the ones that don't yet have slits in them, to thread his caterpillars through. And I'm like, this is not happening. Ran to the store, got him a fake plant. That's been his little toy plant for months now. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I'm washing dishes. He ran over to me with this fake plant in hand and he goes, "Mama, mama, look, a cocoon. And I'm like, "What?" Sure enough, he flips over a leaf and there's a cocoon formed, a real life cocoon forming to the underside of one of his like artificial plant leaves. And I'm like, how the hell did this happen? A few weeks prior to that, I was out in my garden and I noticed a kale plant was completely eaten. And on what was left of the plant, there were 5 like lime green caterpillars. If you know my son, if you've seen me post anything about my son, he is obsessed with caterpillars. Like the Very Hungry Caterpillar was our theme for Halloween last year. We own basically every Hungry Caterpillar book. It's just, it's like the theme of our household. So when I saw these green caterpillars eating all of my kale, my son was at school, and I gathered all the caterpillars in his little insect catcher, and I kept them for him when he got home from school, and he was so excited. And I caught 5 of them. 5 is a very important number. Remember, I caught 5 of them. I gave him free rein. He's pretty responsible with the bugs. So for the rest of the evening, he'd just been playing and I'd just been cooking dinner and cleaning up and letting him do his thing. And come nighttime, my partner was giving him a bath and I go over to the bug catcher and there's only 4 caterpillars left in that bug catcher. And I'm like, oh my God. this caterpillar is on the loose, like it's probably squished somewhere, like I'm just gonna find it eventually, no idea like what's going on with it. But I guess we'll find out when that day comes. And that day came when my son came running up to me at the sink washing dishes with his fake plant because he was smart enough to place this caterpillar on his artificial plant where it was well fed after it attacked my garden and ate a shitload of kale. And it was ready to nestle into a little cocoon. And 2 weeks later, sure enough, and if you're familiar with the Hungry Caterpillar books, they do mention the span of 2 weeks, and it was literally 2 weeks almost to the day that we lost the caterpillar, and my son just synchronistically found the cocoon under the leaf. So I look at it, and I'm like, this thing's ready to hatch. Like, I can see the wings formed within the cocoon. He has a little butterfly habitat because we purchased the larva in the springtime and we raised the larva to then hatch into butterflies. So we're familiar with the process. I'm familiar with what the status of the cocoon was. Like, this is ready to emerge at any point. So we placed the artificial plant in the netting of the butterfly habitat, and sure enough, we went to sleep that night, woke up the next morning, and the moth hatched. And it's taken me a while because I'm like, there is definitely beauty and poetry and some symbolism in this happening, and I had yet to extract it and fully understand like what lesson that was trying to teach me. Like, that's just how I see every single thing in life. Like, I extract the poetry. I'm always trying to find the hidden meaning or message or lesson in absolutely anything. And in this one, I'm like, how beautiful that this caterpillar just knew to let go, to surrender. It knew it was ready, didn't know what would be on the other side. We completely forgot about it. Like, I didn't even know it existed. My son probably knew all along, but he was not obsessing over the fake plant in a weird way. So I know he kind of probably forgot about it. So now looking back, it's like, whether it's versions of ourselves or a dream that we have or a goal that we're working towards, sometimes the best thing we can do is just surrender to the unknown. Let go of control of the process and just let it be. Just let the unknown kind of carry you forward and allow everything to unfold the way that it's meant to, without thought, without pressure, without planning, without needing to know every step of the way to get to where we're meant to go. And a lot of the time when we allow this space between where we are right now and where we're headed, when we let go of the reins, we sometimes get there quicker. We get there with less resistance. We get there with less frustration. And letting go of the reins and trusting the process and leaning into the discomfort of being in this in-between space, not quite knowing answers or direction or steps to get to where we want to go, it's the most difficult part because we are literally conditioned and wired to believe that slowing down, not knowing, is a threat to our safety, is a threat to our worth. And all we know is the going, the doing, the trying to figure out, the analyzing to survive. And when we realize like that is a survival tactic to constantly be reeling our brain to squeeze out answers and figure things out, like we are adding unnecessary pressure to ourselves. And it's like this very intricate dance that we learn to do with this in-between, feeling the resistance, feeling the frustration, feeling the discomfort in the not knowing, but also trusting that this discomfort is a sign of growth. This in-between isn't meant to be this stagnant, stuck feeling that we often identify with it as. Like we see, I'm speaking from personal experience. I used to see the in-between as a loss. Like I lost because I'm here again, because I don't know which direction I'm going in. I don't know the path forward. I don't know who I am. I'm lost. It felt like I've lost myself again, so here I am. But there came a point where I was able to see that these in-betweens are the clearest sign and the biggest indicator that I am coming home to myself. These in-betweens are like, I'm letting go of the things that are not me. And this in-between, although uncomfortable and sometimes scary and frustrating as fuck, they give me the opportunity to shed what's not mine and remember who I am and choose who I want to become and choose what I want for myself in this next season that I'm stepping into. These in-betweens have become like this incubator, this literal cocoon where I am unbecoming everything that I'm not and becoming everything that I am and letting everything naturally fall away and shed. It's not this stagnant, stuck energy that it once felt. It used to feel like quicksand and I was just drowning in it because I was clinging to old identities and old parts of myself and old stories and old relationships and old beliefs that were what created me and what were me up until that point, until I hit this in-between. And then in the in-between, I'm faced to realize like, whoa, these were my beliefs. These were my automatic patterns. These were my automatic thoughts and behaviors. And I started noticing it as an invitation to reflect on that and choose what I want and don't want moving forward, which I have to say is a fucking gift because we are living on autopilot. We are living in these cycles and these loops, and if they're not interrupted, they just continue on for God knows how long. So when we're gifted these in-between moments where we feel like we're disconnected or lost or don't know the direction, if we can start looking at these as opportunities to revisit ourselves, to come home to ourselves, to relearn who we are and unbecome everything that we're not and let go of the things that we've just adopted or inherited that aren't our own, to then choose what we want to carry forward. Like, these in-betweens could be a little bit more supportive and feel a little bit more safe in the not knowing and trusting that inevitably you're going to end up in the direction and in the version of you that you are meant to become. Because if there's anything that I've learned is that whether you have it planned, whether you have all the answers, whether you know every step to take to get to where you want to go, whether you have that or not, you still end up exactly where you're meant to be. So if you can kind of like release the pressure valve a little bit and take the pressure off of yourself and like not fully kick your feet up and enjoy the ride, but like just trust a little bit and not feel like you have to like micromanage every move during this in-between, how much more relaxed you'll feel in the process. It's building that self-trust muscle. It's building that self-trust in the universe and knowing like you are divinely supported in the direction that you're going in, and you don't have to know every single step of the way. And a lot of what helped me personally in kind of redefining my relationship with the in-between or the unknown or like the liminal space between like who I was before and who I want to become, or transitioning from one experience to the next, whatever, was like rewriting my beliefs around like what productivity means and what success looks like. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. A lot of the beliefs that I carried growing up, just from conditioning and school and the systems that we're in and beliefs that were fed, like to be worthy, we have to do and prove our worth through productivity and output. And I've come to learn that that's where a lot of my people-pleasing tendencies came from. And the burnout that I inevitably hit time and time again was just from tying my worth to how much I'm doing. And in these in-betweens, especially like identity level shifts, it's like having to relearn all over again. Which brings me to kind of the next layer of this conversation is when we find ourselves back in this in-between or this liminal space, because I know if you're listening, you've probably been in a few iterations of your own liminal or in-between space. And it's almost like this inevitable homecoming. It's this inevitable place that we land back in And for so long, just because of how chronically Capricorn I've been for most of my life, I've just over-identified with like my Capricorn qualities and just like the hard work, the determination, the, you know, pushing and forcing, just like the masculine go, go, go. When I would be forced into, it felt like a force, I'd be forced into these slower periods of just feeling clouded and unclear and not knowing, which is very much not what I was used to. I'd be like, no, not again. We're not here again. It felt like a defeat. And I noticed like it was a period, a cyclical experience. I kept returning to these spaces, these unknowns. And unironically, story time. For my 21st birthday, I stayed a few nights at a casino, and the first night, my mom and grandmother joined me before my friends came the next night. And that first night, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to throw $20 in a slot machine. I am not a gambler. I hate losing money. And I was like, if I win, there was a tattoo parlor in the casino. I was like, if I win, I kind of like put it out there. I was like very much in my manifestation era and just child of the universe era, which I don't think ever left me, but I was just like in my prime. I put it out there. I was like, if I win, I already know what I'm going to get. I'm going to walk into that tattoo parlor and get the tattoo that I've wanted for so long now. Sure enough, I put $20 in the slot machine and I won like, I think it was like $650. And I was like, yep, I'm going to get that tattoo. I had plans to go out dancing and drinking with my friends that night. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going in, getting a tattoo. I'll just cover it up. And like, what a story. And even more unironically, the dress that I had brought had a cutout that fell perfectly in line with where I got my tattoo, like on the back of my neck. So that just like popped into my brain. Like looking back, I have like the image. I had like a red lace dress and had like an oval cutout on the back, like on my upper back. And that's exactly where the tattoo is. But anyway, for so long, I had wanted an unalome, and it is representative of like the journey to enlightenment, which also holds the spiral. It has a spiral, and the spiral is representative of the challenges or lessons that we revisit throughout our lifetime, which then inevitably brings us to enlightenment. And linking this back to what I was saying before story time, we revisit the same lessons over and over again. And before I kind of shifted my perspective or just my relationship with these experiences, I would see so much shame. I would feel so much shame. I would see so much failure in revisiting these lessons because I'm like, shit, I didn't learn. Here I am again. And I'd beat myself up over it. Like, oh, there you go again, making the same damn mistakes, getting into the same challenges, experiences, frustrations, situations that you inevitably find yourself in because you're not learning from them. But the more that I revisited some of these challenges, experiences, lessons, I started realizing, wait, I handled it a little bit differently this time. Or I have different perspective or different life experience or different tools to navigate these challenges a little bit differently, a little more efficiently, a little less painful, a little less dragged out, and got onto the other side a little less scathed. And when I was 21 and got that tattoo, the unalome, the symbol of the journey to enlightenment, I fully understood what it meant, but I hadn't yet lived out much of that experience to understand the truth and the depth of the symbol that I had permanently inked on my body. And now as a 30-year-old mom and just woman existing in this world, like I look back at 21-year-old me and I'm like, wow, you really knew what you were doing. And I don't think I realized how significant that symbol would be in my life and in what I teach and what I how I live. Because it's so easy to feel like we failed or we're backtracking or we're regressing when we've done our work. If you're here, I know you're doing your work. You've done your work. You've tried everything. And this is just a reminder that when you find yourself in a similar spot, you're not in the same exact spot. You're on that spiral. You're revisiting same experience, similar experiences or similar challenges, similar lessons, with new wisdom, with a new view, with new perspective, with new tools, with more lived experience to help you walk through and navigate these challenges. And it's also an invitation to relate to it differently, to allow yourself to show up in that challenge differently with the more integrated experiences that you have within yourself from past experiences. Like, how can I invite a new lens or perspective or relationship to the current challenge that I've already been through many times before? And what is this teaching me? Because one thing that I've noticed and I've studied too is that unconsciously we always end up at the lesson or the challenge or the invitation that we need to unlock or uncover or work through the maladaptive patterns or the outdated beliefs that we're currently operating in. Like, inevitably, unconsciously, our soul is bringing us towards these challenges because it's what we need to overcome whatever block we're experiencing to get to the next level or version of ourselves. And I'm not saying like you're creating your own problems, but unconsciously, you know the challenge you need to face to step into the next version of yourself. And how beautiful that your brain and your body can do that, lead you to the exact lesson that you need. And if you can see it in that way, it just unlocks so much for you, because it's like, I literally needed this and I asked for it and I like created it in a way. I co-created it with life, the universe, whatever. And oftentimes we're gifted like that sense of freedom or that sense of growth or unlocking a part of ourselves that has felt stifled or silenced through facing these challenges. So that is my offering in just the spiral of life and my Unalome tattoo and unconsciously just knowing what you need to step beyond the limitations of your own mind. And now slowly shifting gears more into kind of this inflection point. There's a quote by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who wrote Women Who Run With the Wolves. If you're here, you know that is my Bible. I have very psychic relations and experiences with this book. Like, when I first got certified in Reiki, even before that, like, I guess we'll go here right now. Side tangent, skirt. Another tab open. Let's bookmark this quote by Clarissa, which we will get back to. So growing up, I've always had this sense. I could feel, I could hear, I could see, and I couldn't quite put my finger on what it was. I just thought it was normal. Like, my mom has this gift and it was just part of our day to day. It was part of our experience. Like, it wasn't abnormal. And I just never knew kind of what to make of it. I didn't know how to use it. I didn't know how to channel it. I didn't know how to make sense of what it was I was experiencing. Like, I was very highly sensitive. I was very receptive to energy. I could read a room just walking into it. I could feel the person's emotions next to me. I could like look at someone and just know exactly like what they're feeling, thinking, experiencing. I'm not saying I'm a mind reader. I don't want that or claim that to be my reality, but just highly empathetic, highly sensitive to energy and spirits, unfortunately. At that time, it was unfortunate. I've since then changed or stepped into a new relationship with that. But just to give context with like my mention of like psychic experiences with this book, I got certified in Reiki last year, and I did so because I knew I had some sort of like clairsenses gift that I couldn't quite grasp or understand. And I was hoping Reiki kind of gave me more structure or just a channel to be able to further understand it, which it did. It definitely heightened my sensitivities beyond. Like, I had to take a break from practicing Reiki for a little bit just because I was so turned on all the time. And during this time, I've always been consulting Women Who Run With The Wolves. Like I said, I literally like turn to it like a Bible, and I just flip open to a random page, and it usually speaks to my exact experience, or it's something that I need to hear or read or relate to in that exact moment. But I would be in meditation, or I'd just be like sitting there channeling, and an image or a symbol would drop in. And for the shits of it, I'm like, let me see if this is significant. I would reach for the book, I would open it, and for example, I didn't think I'd be sharing this in episode two, but one day a ruby red slipper dropped into kind of like my mind's eye. And one way that I'm learning to like work with my intuitive gifts is that a lot of the symbols that come through are like Disney related or movies that I watched as a kid. And I think that's really when my gifts started turning on, like when I was watching Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs or like Wizard of Oz. And that's how that's the language that spirit is like learning to communicate with me through, because it's a way that my brain grasps it and understands the symbols or the stories, especially with like fairy tales or like mythology, things like that. It's easy for me to grasp and understand the symbolism of what I'm grasping. So this day I saw the ruby red slippers, I open up Women Who Run With The Wolves, and immediately the first words that I see on the page are Judy Garland. And it was about how Judy Garland, Marilyn Monroe, were after Hollywood and society's view of success and beauty, and they were essentially like running away from their authentic true selves. They were, in an attempt to chase their dreams, were losing themselves and then filling the void and further damaging that relationship to like their inner wild and their authenticity. And essentially were behaving in a certain way because they knew it was rewarded. And even though it was rewarded, it wasn't necessarily true to who they were at their core, which relates to the gift that that in-between space gives us to revisit who we are and notice ways that we are maybe performing or overperforming or overgiving or people-pleasing because we are rewarded by that behavior. So anyway, it was just, there have been many instances of having, you know, little visions and connecting with the book, and my relationship to the book definitely deepened from there. But just to get back on track, the quote reads, "Stagnancy hinders forward movement. There is deep importance and purpose in the slowing down, sitting with, processing, understanding during an inner winter. But there needs to be a waking up, a stretching, expanding, unfurling, and blooming after. We're not meant to hibernate indefinitely." And this quote kind of speaks to that inflection point, the importance and the deep healing and integrating and understanding and remembering that that in-between or that inner winter can offer us. But at some point, by nature, by design, we find forward movement again. We find that point of change, of direction, of energy, of relationship to ourselves with the life buzzing around us. The sitting with, the slowing down kind of gives space for life to be breathed into kind of like those corners of ourselves that maybe did feel stuck and stagnant, and maybe that time and space that you were given to slow down and be with yourself brought clarity. Even though it felt murky and muddy and cloudy in the moment, sitting with it gives it space to move. And then moving gives it space to transform into something else, something new. And that inflection point is where everything starts integrating and you start like moving it into action. Everything that you sat with now has a means of transportation to move forward in the life that you're living. It's you beginning to embody the things that you've chosen for yourself, or letting go of the things that you no longer identify with or are claiming as your own. And you get the opportunity to start walking forward without those things and placing those things down. And that's kind of where I'm at in my process. Like, I felt like I've been in this in between for over a year. I've been unmasking, and which is ironic because I had no intentions of getting a potential ADHD diagnosis after unmasking. And the irony in neurodivergents masking their entire lives. And in the process of unmasking, I discovered that I am potentially neurodivergent. I shouldn't say potentially, I definitely am, but I haven't gotten the, you know, official diagnosis yet. I am in process and we're kind of just rolling with that right now. But kind of in the process of unmasking and letting go of the things that aren't mine, because I had been clinging to just beliefs and thoughts and versions of myself that were not serving me at all, especially after becoming a mom and having big dreams, hopes, goals, aspirations, just pulls in the directions of like my wildest dreams. But these fears and these beliefs were holding me back. And I got to this point where like, I am so tired of not going after what I want because of these critical thoughts, because of these imposter versions of me popping up and telling me that I can't do it, that I'll never be successful if I try, I'll just fail. And I really sat with a lot of those narratives and I cognitively named them years ago. I've known about these patterns. I've known about these beliefs that I subconsciously was like operating out of, but I hadn't, my body hadn't yet fully caught up. Like, there's a huge distinction and difference between understanding and integrating. And the last year has been integrating. It has been creating the safety to move in the direction that I want to go in. It was moving stuck and stagnant energy in my body to be able to allow that energy to then transform into things that I want to create, rather than spending that time worrying or festering or dreaming or longing for. I'm now channeling that energy into the doing, into the creating. And it took a lot of movement, a lot of somatic sessions, a lot of therapy, a lot of parts work to be able to kind of move some of that stagnancy. But one of the beliefs in the work that I do is like the conservation of energy. Like, energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It's just transferred from one form to another. So that festering, that frustration, that anger, that name the emotion here, it's going to be there unless you give it the opportunity to transform into something else. Like, you can like ignore it, push it down, stuff it away, forget about it, but it's still festering, existing, taking up space, taking up energy in your body until you give it the opportunity to transform into something else. And I'm not saying releasing the energy. I'm saying like transforming it into something new. So anyway, I find myself like at this inflection point because I am finally on the other side of like this liminal space. I'm still very much one toe in the liminal space, not knowing. I'm in complete surrender, even though there are some days that are much more difficult than others. I'm still facing those moments of frustration and discomfort in not knowing and wanting to be where I want to be and not be right here and just know the direction and know the steps and just know the path forward. But then there are the days where I'm like, you're not meant to know right now. Every step that you're taking is bringing you in that direction inevitably because that's where you are meant to go. So just chill out a little bit. And it was so beautiful because I finally, through the unmasking, through kind of peeling back those layers over the last year, I was given the opportunity through multiple spaces that I joined. The first one that kind of was like the catalyst to it all. And I know you'll hear a lot about creative living. You've probably already heard a lot about creative living, but creative living was this liberation for me. Lois and Maya, the two co-leaders and co-creators of creative living, really married my two loves together. And it was writing and exploring your voice, your written voice, even beyond your written voice, your voice in general, and the somatic piece. And it just spoke to my brain, body, soul. Like, I just understood the material. I felt understood and seen. And I was given such a beautiful space to explore myself in that way and integrate a lot of what I've already been working on and further dive into physical practices that helped further create that safety. So I bring up creative living because in one of the roundtables, Lois started off with a journal prompt and asked us all, like, what's a dream that won't let you go? This is on April 4th of this year. I'm going to read my response. And I think it was one of the first times that I read one of my reflections out loud. And if you listen to the first episode, I was definitely thinking of this moment of reading this aloud in that roundtable, being one of those moments where I was still working through the discomfort of sharing my voice and having those sensations come online, like the nervousness and the anxiety and the trembling in my voice. And I think it's because of the emotion and just like the raw feelings that I was feeling in the moment. So without further ado, the entry went, "For as long as I can remember, I have dreamt of togetherness. I have dreamt of something so much larger than me that at times feels impossible to create from my own fingertips. A dream of deep belonging, safety, wild expression through movement and words, through story and sound, through being seen in the mirror, being held in the existence of the person sitting next to us. A dream of holding physical, emotional, and energetic space that allows for the full spectrum of the messy human experience to just exist. A space for the illusions of perfectionism to dissolve. A space that serves as a balm to our aching wounds. A space that holds grief and celebration, joy and tears. A place to come together in remembrance that to feel deeply, to experience the wide range of human expression, is to be fully alive. The dream was never about me. It was about us. So of course it cannot be done alone. We were never designed to." And the whole time that I was writing this, I just envisioned myself in a yoga studio, holding space for people to move their bodies, to release whatever they needed to release, whether it be a laugh, an emotion, a cry, a hug, a tear, whatever it be, just showing up, being able to be fully themselves without the worry of judgment, just a feeling of full acceptance for who they are, safety in the space, but also in their bodies. And back in April, this was shortly after I found out that the yoga teacher training that I dreamt of joining for a few years was opening up applications for the fall cohort. And if it weren't for the opportunity to reconnect with my voice, to be prompted and asked such deep questions by Lois and Maya, to remember who I am, both in business, but also as a human being, like who I am day in and day out. And then being in community with people who are on very similar paths and witnessing their journeys and having their support and making the most amazing friendships from that community, I'm not sure I would have taken the step. But through that work, through that opportunity to just be asked, what is the dream that never left me? Like, Lois, you are genius for that question. The dream that has never left me is teaching yoga. Over a decade ago, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. Over a decade ago, I was at a point where I didn't feel safe in my body because of the anxiety, the panic attacks, the burnout, the autopilot that I was stuck in. The only thing that really brought me peace and comfort and the ability to take a deep breath and not feel like I needed to crawl out of my skin was yoga, was moving my body, was rolling out that mat, stepping on it, and just getting lost in the movement. And as the years progressed, it became my medicine. It was the thing that brought me back to myself. It was the thing that allowed me to work through and move through challenges and unknowns and discomfort and big emotions and big experiences and just give my mind the space to rest. Because I am an overthinker, overanalyzer. I feel deeply. As I mentioned, like, I'm highly sensitive. So I constantly have these inputs of stimuli, like sounds, smells, like just my senses are just so heightened on top of being a people pleaser and overworking and trying to prove myself. Like, my system became overloaded. And the gateway to coming back home to myself was stepping onto that yoga mat. And a lot of this remembering of, like, who I was back then, 10 years ago, even over 10 years ago, I could probably say 15 years ago, and how much movement has been an integral part of my healing journey and knowing what is possible through movement, both from personal experience, through community, through speaking to others who also share a love for movement or a curiosity in the form or the field of movement. We all share the same love for it in finding parts of ourselves and finding deeper healing through movement. And in the world of somatics that I found myself in, we don't heal through spoken language. Truly, we heal through sensation and movement and feeling and allowing energy to transform, and through movement, we're able to do that. So the inflection point that I keep mentioning, I guess, is really the beginning of yoga teacher training, because it's been something that I've longed for and wanted so deeply and so badly, and just haven't, it just wasn't the right time up until now. And now just feels like the right time. It feels like the missing puzzle piece of everything that I've been studying and learning and diving into and researching and just spending all of my free time just getting lost in, and just, like, it's such, I've never loved learning more than I have in the last few years, because it's all the things that just make sense to me because they are part of me. They just come naturally to me, and further deepening my relationship to these fields of information and study, like energetics, somatics, movement, psychology, all of these things, they light me up. But I've had a very hard time, and this was like part of the liminal space, I had a very hard time piecing all of those interests together in an offer in the coaching space. I've had a very hard time figuring out, okay, how do I weave all of these things together and share them online in a way that they are not just like random bits of information that I'm just spewing and don't resonate or make sense with what I'm trying to portray or teach or whatever. And I've been trying things on to see if they fit, but nothing really felt resonant. I've definitely created from the heart and, you know, stayed true to me throughout this in-between process. But now entering yoga teacher training, I'm like, it all makes sense now. Like, yoga is literally the thing that is weaving all of the things that I've been studying and have wanted to come together, but I haven't had a medium for them to come together. Kind of like how I mentioned having these intuitive clair sense experiences. I didn't have a vehicle to kind of like travel through those experiences in, and Reiki gave me that vehicle. Now, at a larger scale, a more macro view of it all, yoga is giving me the space to marry all of my interests into one space. And I knew it on day one. I walked into the studio and I was so beyond emotional. Granted, it was also the lunar eclipse weekend in Pisces. Again, I'm going to shout out Hollis and Jess for their constellations support group that I'm in for the eclipse season. I was just so emotional because I walked into that studio and I'm like, I am no longer stuck in that in-between. I'm no longer stuck in the liminal because I'm taking this step forward. I'm finally showing up to the dream that never let me go. I am moving in the direction of everything that I've been dreaming of as I walk into this space. And it just felt like home. Through our lectures and teachings of just weekend one, I was like, this is it. This is where I meant to be. Like, at a soul level, I was like, every single thing has been worth it up until this point. Every single thing. And as I mentioned, I still have one toe in the in-between and the rest of my body is kind of on the other side of that portal. That one toe is reminding me that I still don't know what this journey is going to hold. I don't know who I'm going to be on the other side of yoga teacher training. I don't know the what, the where, the when. I certainly as hell know the why. But I guess the one toe is reminding me to trust in the unknown, to trust that it's still okay to be in process and I don't have to know it all. I don't need to move against my natural pace or the rhythm that I'm moving at right now. It's reminding me to give myself permission to put down the things that don't feel aligned right now. And even if I've put a lot of time, effort, energy, and work into these things, it's okay to put them down. For example, I was so excited to host a group somatic experience this fall, but timing just doesn't feel right. Like right now, my heart is in this training. It's in learning. It's in stepping into the version of me that has been living out in my mind for all these years. It's giving myself the time and space to integrate all that I have conjured up and learned and remembered in this liminal space, this in-between. Remember who I am at my core and allow that version of me to lead moving forward. So it's still very much like, I feel like there's like an integration phase after the in-between and then the inflection point hits where things start changing and moving and turning upward, but there's still that integration phase. And I feel like I'm still very much at the tail end of that in-between, stepping into this new territory and finding my footing and having my coaching business and not quite wanting to fully let that go. Not knowing what it's going to be at the end of the next 5 months, I think is just something that I need to release my grip on. And I know right now it'll be detrimental to my process to fight against that and show up and coach anyway. I don't think it's fair to myself or to potential clients to be kind of in this tug of war of what I even want to do right now. And I'm just allowing that to be okay. And it feels really good to just say that out loud and kind of release expectation and release control and release grip of the coaching aspect of Plant the Seed. I think there are so many beautiful ways where I can still show up and pour my heart into in this podcast, in my Substack, in my monthly newsletter, where I'm still showing up and fulfilling that deep purpose that I feel in this space. But right now, capacity is not allowing me to hold one-on-one or group space, and I'm allowing that to be okay. And maybe by me speaking this out loud and you hearing it, it might give you permission to allow yourself to do the same if you've been on, you know, the fence about allowing yourself permission to choose what you know in your core is true to you. So just a reminder, you don't have to continue and push through resistance and like that felt knowing when you know deep down you need something else right now. Even if in the eyes of others it might seem silly or they don't get it, it's okay. It's okay. And kind of in that same breath of people not getting it or just moving to your own rhythm, really, brings up my personal process and maybe an invitation for you to reflect on your personal process. And by my personal process, I mean my digestion process with digesting information, digesting life experiences, digesting emotion. I have a very slow process. And part of it is because I feel like I have to know the entire experience, like to my core. Like I have to eat it, breathe it, bathe in it, sleep on it, knit it into a cozy sweater and wear it for a while before I can share it. Like I have to make sure I am a walking embodiment of whatever it is that I am going to share. Usually it's like insight or learned lessons or experiences from a personal challenge or whatever. For example, that whole cocoon moth story. I sat on that for about a month because I wasn't quite sure how I was going to poeticize it yet, but it finally landed on my lap after sleeping on it and letting it percolate and letting it compost and digest. Just a small little example, like I have a very slow process for anything. And I'm also learning, like, is it also part of my ADHD where I have these brilliant ideas? I can hyper focus for a very limited amount of time and get that task and that idea birthed, but then the excitement fizzles out and then I don't fully execute. So I'm trying to work with many different angles of this experience, but just an invitation to own your own process. And your process isn't meant to look like or mirror identically to someone else's around you. Their process, their, you know, structure they have in place might be helpful to learn from, but it might not work for you. And there's nothing wrong with you if your process is not in alignment with the way someone else operates. And that's also something that I've had to really learn from this liminal space is like trying things on, seeing if they fit, figuring out the structure that works for my brain and the way that I operate, figuring out a cadence, even for this podcast that feels good. Because to be completely honest, and I just had a conversation last night with my very dear friend, Victoria, which I'm sure you'll be hearing from very soon. I was letting her know, like, after I hit publish on my first episode of this podcast, even though it's been something I've been so excited about for months, and it's been something that I've dreamt of and wanted so deeply for years, after I hit publish on that first episode, the excitement immediately died. And I was like, what am I even doing? Is this even something that I really want to do? Because the thought of follow through was something that I was really like butting up against. And I really think it has to do with like that dopamine. It was like excitement, something to accomplish. And then after I did it, even though it is still deeply something that I align with and something that I want to do, that immediate like dopamine hit crashed. And I was like, all right, well, that's it. Now what? So I've been really navigating that too. And I kind of landed on like a bi-weekly cadence is what really feels good for my capacity. And it really took some work to get to this realization and this like working through the discomfort, like the resistance. And this is a perfect example in that discernment between, is this avoidance because I'm not meant to be doing it right now? Or is this avoidance because of the way my brain is wired? And this is a case where this is just how my brain is wired because the excitement is underlying. I'm also luteal as hell right now. And I know not to believe anything that my brain is trying to feed me right now in relation to any business decisions, any goals, any way that I see or believe myself to be or the world around me. Like there's just, I've just got the luteal lens on right now. So very brave of me to be having this conversation with you deep in luteal, but here we are. We've made it to that level together. But yeah, it's just part of the process, working through that discomfort and really learning how my brain operates, which is just like this wild dance that I was not anticipating in this era, but here we are. And now I'm sharing it with the world. And I want to go run and hide under a rock after posting this episode. But I mean, hey, here's to growth. No, but in all seriousness, I think just to kind of bring this conversation to a close, I really believe that we put so much pressure on ourselves to be this continuous version of ourselves, but forget that with growth comes that slowness to actually catch up to the growth that you want or that you're chasing. There's like this recalibration, this rest, this integration phase that needs to happen. You can't be the Energizer Bunny and just keep going and going and going and going, and you're just going to magically end up where you want to be. You need those moments of rest and integration and reflection in order to get there. And even though they do feel uncomfortable, they are so important and so necessary to our evolution to get to where we want to go. So, if there's anything that I can leave you with, it's the question of where may I be holding on to expectation, someone else's beliefs or vision of who I am or who I should be, and how can I start loosening that grip? And the question that I may ask following that one is, who am I in this moment? And really connecting in with who you are in this moment. Not the beliefs, not the ideas, not the thoughts. But who are you in the physical flesh that you are in? Who am I today? And how can I allow more of this version of me to lead as I continue through this liminal space? How can I reaffirm that who I am right now is enough? That I have nowhere else to be but here? My pace is my pace, and that is enough. And by letting go of control, releasing my grip, being open to feeling supported, knowing that the steps that I am taking, even if I feel stagnant, the choice to stop and rest and just be is inevitably going to bring me closer to where I am going. And by releasing my grip to the things that no longer serve me, support me, I'm giving myself permission to move forward in the direction that I know. So I leave you with that. Maybe ponder that, maybe journal, reflect if that feels aligned. And for the fun of it, I just pulled out my Medicine Woman deck and I'm going to pull a card. So this will be a first. I'm doing this live on mic. I hope you can hear the shuffling. All right. Ooh, you cannot make this up. Okay. I pulled the Spring card. A time for renewal, step into uncharted territory. And how beautifully synchronistic is it that this card came in this moment when we're talking about moving from that liminal space, that inner winter, into that inflection point, which is then bringing us out of that hibernation into that outward bloom, that unfurling that Clarissa so beautifully spoke to in that quote that I read earlier. And again, this I think really relates to what I just invited you to explore as well. Like, who am I in this season and how can I allow this version of me to pull me forward in the direction that I'm meant to go in? Not the version of me that I have been told that I am, but how can I allow myself to bloom into who I am supposed to be, who I already am, by shedding those layers of winter that are bogging me down, that are serving as masks, that are hiding the true essence of who I am. So maybe you find yourself coming out of that inner winter into your spring. And I leave you with that offering. That was so fun. And I think we just found a way to close out all future episodes on a little intuitive whim. How cute, how fun. We love that. How are we feeling about that? Let me know. I'm open to any feedback, any words that are sitting on your heart. So, thank you so much for listening in today. I hope that today's episode resonates, inspires, brings something up or alive in you, and we will talk again soon. Thank you so much for tuning in to Soul Meets Body. And if this conversation moved something in you, I'd be so honored if you followed along, left a review, or even shared this episode with someone who you think may need to hear it. You can also join my newsletter or explore my offerings at the link in the show notes. Until next time, may you listen deeply, move to your own rhythm, and return to yourself with love. See you soon.